Hello, in this episode, I want to look at some of those discrepancies. They're not normally highlighted by polemicists, whether Muslims or Jews or atheists, and it's to do with the Roman state in the New Testament. Is it a force for good or evil? Now, this is a major discrepancy of point of view or perspective, and we see the question is, what is the appropriate Christian attitude towards the state? This is not just a historical question. This matters all the way through history, even up to Nelson Mandela's time in apartheid South Africa, when de Klerk, the president, wheeled out a particular text to Nelson Mandela to prove that he must submit to, obey, and support apartheid. So, which passage is that? Well, it's one in Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, which begins, Paul says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, for it is God's servant for your good." Imagine being in Nelson Mandela's shoes when that was read to you by de Klerk. So Paul represents one view in the New Testament. The governing authorities are from God. He's instituted them for our good, and no one should resist them, because to resist them is to resist God himself. Now, the opposite view is found in the book of Revelation, the very last book in the Bible. And I just want to read what Bart Ehrman says about this in his rather good book, Jesus Interrupted, Revealing the Hidden Contradictions in the Bible and Why We Don't Know About Them. Bart Ehrman, as you probably know, is a professor of New Testament studies at Chapel Hill in South Carolina, in the United North Carolina, in the United States. He's a leading scholar of the New Testament and the history of early Christianity. And I do recommend this book. Yeah, it's simplistic. Yeah, it's a bit polemical, but he does bring out some important discrepancies and contradictions which can't really be denied if one is honest. Now, on this subject of the Christian view of the state, in the book of Revelation, he says this: the polar opposite view, that's the opposite to the one I've just read in Paul, is represented in the book of Revelation, which sees the governing powers as wicked, instituted and controlled by the forces of evil, and subject in the end to the overwhelming wrath of God. Here are such ruling authorities as the Antichrist and his minions. Here is the city of Rome, is described as the great whore and the mother of whores and the earth's abominations, drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the witnesses to Jesus. Now, why should this whore of Babylon of Revelation chapter 17 be thought of as referring to the Roman authorities, the one Paul had such praises for in Romans chapter 13? Because an angel gives us an interpretation of the meaning of this vision of the whore of Babylon. The beast on which she sits has seven heads, which represent the seven mountains on which the woman is seated. She herself is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth. It's Revelation 17:18. What is the great ruling city of the first century seated on seven mountains? Of course, it is Rome, the city built on seven hills. I've been there, indeed it is. He continues, in the book of Revelation, Rome is not the kindly disposed institution working to bring about the good, nor God's servant appointed for the well-being of God's people, that it is in Paul. In Revelation, Rome is a hideous, wretched, blasphemous, flagrantly immoral, violently oppressive authority, not appointed by God, but established by God's enemies. But its day is coming. God will soon overthrow the Roman state in order to bring in his good kingdom and wipe the whore of Babylon off the face of the earth. That's page 98. So perhaps Nelson Mandela could have quoted back to de Klerk Revelation chapter 17, thus proving that in fact the state is the Antichrist, the whore of Babylon, which God's going to overthrow. The problem is, of course, you'd have de Klerk and Nelson Mandela at loggerheads, because each can claim justifiably some really good scriptural support for their position. But of course, the scripture, the New Testament, contradicts each other. And I come back to this question, why do we see this contradiction? So I said in another video, it's important to grasp, which we often don't, particularly Christians don't, is that the Bible is made up of many, many different books. It's a library written by different people at different times. And of course, you're going to have different perspectives, inevitably. And so Paul's views in Romans on the Roman state are the opposite of the author of the book of Revelation. And we see again and again, we see these discrepancies and differences of perspective, as we would expect to do from such a library made up from such different sources and historical periods. So that's the there is no single Christian view there. And on many issues in the Bible, you will find differences of opinion. We've seen already how Matthew's Jesus, his view of the law is that we should obey the Torah, the 613 commandments. And we've seen Paul's view in Ephesians 2:15 that the law has been abolished. And time again, we see these contradictions. And it's interesting that Bart Ehrman makes a point here about, and I've experienced this too. He says in conclusion, it's on the same page, 98. He says, for nearly 25 years now, I have taught courses on the New Testament in universities. And all this time, the lesson I have found most difficult to convey to students, the lesson is that the hardest to convince them of is that the historical critical claim that each author of the Bible needs to be allowed to have its own say, since in many instances, what one author has to say on a subject is not what another says. Sometimes the differences are a matter of stress and emphasis. Sometimes they are discrepancies in different narratives or between different writers' thoughts. And sometimes these discrepancies are quite large, affecting not only the small details of the text, but the very big issues that these authors were addressing. And he's already covered some of these issues. Who was Jesus? How did he come into the world? What did he teach? Why did he perform miracles? What was his attitude towards his own death? Why did he have to die? How are people made right with God? What is God's attitude towards false religions? How should Christians relate to the ruling authorities? We've just seen that. These are, by all accounts, major issues, and different New Testament authors answer them in different ways. So what he says there is really important. And the root of the problem, I think, is obvious. If you're a Christian and you believe that this book has a single author, and that author is God Almighty, of course, God, being perfect, has a single mind, will author a book without any discrepancies or contradictions or differences at all. But the historical reality is, and this is what historians like Bart Ehrman investigate, they look at these texts as a library, because the Gospel of Luke was written by Luke. The letters of Paul were written by Paul. The letters of John were written by John, and so on and so on. These are different people, human beings, who claim to have authored texts. And if we listen to their own distinctive voices, so what is Paul saying? You know, don't bring in John, don't bring in Matthew. Just listen to what Paul is saying for a second before we listen to anyone else, to understand him on his own terms, in his own context. What we find is that his voice, his views, his perspective is quite different from, say, the perspective of the author of the Gospel of Matthew or the Gospel of John or any whatever other view you want to take. What Christians do, however, when they come across this, and I've experienced this 1,000 times, is they seek to harmonize everything. But they don't really harmonize what is contradictory. They smash it together. They mash it together. And they try and produce out of that a single view. And it's usually the view of Paul that wins. Paulinism triumphs. It triumphs over Jesus. It triumphs over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's just my experience. So in a sense, Christians are not really being faithful to their own Holy Bible. They misunderstand what it is. They misunderstand its origin. They misunderstand, or they don't want to understand, the distinctivenesses and differences between the human authors of the text. Now, there are many, many Christians in the world, and I've read, who are not evangelical, who or not traditional Catholic, who accept what I've said. It's just common sense that they have a different understanding of inspiration and God's providence, and they don't have a problem with that. But if you have a conservative view, you end up distorting the nature of the text. You end up smashing together text to try and produce a single voice, when in fact all the different authors have different perspectives, different voices, different views, which contradict each other quite often. Not always, but on fundamental matters they do. So, well, that's the end of my sermon. But I just wanted to share with you that less known contradiction about the Roman state, meaning all states since then, whether it be Nazi Germany or it be de Klerk's apartheid South Africa and so on, where Paul says these are instituted by God, we must obey them, to disobey them is to disobey God. And you can imagine the havoc that wreaked in 1930s Germany. You can imagine what havoc that wreaked in the 1970s and 1980s in South Africa. But there is another view in the Bible, the Book of Revelation. The polar opposite view is represented there, that the state is evil, it's the Antichrist, and will be overthrown by God. You take your pick. Anyway, till next time.